we've been talking about decisions. Everybody say decisions, decisions, decisions. How do you know you got to make them, right? If you don't make it, it'll be made for you. To not make a decision about something is to make a decision. When you don't make a decision, you put your choices in the hands of circumstances. When you don't make a choice, when you don't make a godly decision, you actually sometimes put your hand, your decision, into the hands of the enemy. Now, I come against this a lot because I hear it a lot, and I want to make sure you understand that this old saying, this religious thing that everybody says that looks so right all the time, it says, they say, well, I just believe everything that's just meant to be just happens, and everything happens for a reason. How many times you heard that? Right? Everybody says it all the time. But the truth of the matter is, if everything was just up to happenstance, even for a believer who loves Jesus, then there would be no need for you to have faith. There would be no need for pray. And really, there'd be no need for us to even come together except to see what everybody's wearing. If everything is just done, well, Pastor Mark, I think God's in charge. He's in charge of you. He's in charge of you. But he's not in charge of everybody. How many of you know, even when God gives you a directive, if somebody else is in the middle of it, they can really mess it up? Let's ask the Apostle Paul about that. Remember on his trip to Rome, he perceived in his heart, and he knew the decision that the centurion and the captain of the ship was about to make was going to be a mess. But because he had no way to get out of it naturally, God had to supernaturally deliver him because Paul was on the ship. People ought to be glad you're born again. Come on, your family needs to be glad you're born again. They need to be glad that you know the Holy Ghost and that God will get you and your family out of every troubling situation because he has always delivered. He will deliver. Amen. He has delivered. He does deliver. And he'll always deliver you. Why? Because you're the apple of his eye. He can't do without you. He don't want to do without you because he loves you. And even when we mess up, God will deliver you out of all your troubles. Amen. But sometimes because of people's poor choices, so see, decisions matter. That's why God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. It's an open book test. Choose life. So choices are everything. And so how many of you know we need to make choices in line with the Word of God? Right? And so how many of you know you got to know the Word of God? You can't make a choice by the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God. But then there's personal things in your life. Where do you live? Where do you go to church? Where, if you're getting ready to go to college, where do you go to college? I mean, you know, we got some great athletes in Madison, Alabama, you know, getting 6 or 7 offers from SEC schools, but they have to choose the right one. It doesn't always mean they'll go to one of your 2 favorites. Maybe that's not the core of their life. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And so, everybody should be happy this weekend. And so, but do you understand? See, who's the only one that knows tomorrow? It's it. It's an exclusive club. It's a club of one. John 16:13 says he'll show you things to come, though. So you can get in the club if you're born again and you know how to be led by the Holy Ghost. But he's the only one that knows tomorrow. The devil pretends he knows tomorrow. Even with fortune tellers and people that use familiar spirits, they hook you with something of the past that's accurate, and then they'll try to get you to believe something in the future and get you to say it. Because the devil needs words. The devil needs words just like God needs words. So you got to be very careful. Oh, I'm getting way messy here in the beginning, but it's all good and it's all helping me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, everybody say decisions. And you need to be able to make decisions properly with the Word of God. And then when it comes to personal stuff, you need to know. So I want you to turn to James chapter 4. And often this portion of Scripture is used at funerals, but it's really quite misunderstood. So I want to talk to you about how to make personal decisions. Anybody got any personal decisions you need to make? See, we all do. Not just teenagers, not just kids in college. But you have decisions to make all day long, some of them small, but some of them major. And if you don't know how to make a godly decision, we're going to keep making messes. How many know God will deliver you out of your messes, but if you can get pre-delivered? How do you get pre-delivered? Well, you learn to make right choices, so there's not so many messes. And nobody in the room, does anybody love drama? No, I hope y'all don't thrive on it. I don't like it. And so James chapter 4 is a good portion of scripture to teach you out of, to show you that there are choices in life to make. So this is not a funeral too. This is a daily living scripture. James 4:13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city. So it's talking about a person who's thinking about in their own decision, in their own mind, go and move into a city. And continue there a year. And they've even set a time frame. I'm going to do this for a year. And I'm going to buy and sell. In other words, I'm going to start a business. I'm in a startup. I'm going to do it for a year, but I'm moving to another city and get gain. So it's all about daily living. How many know God's not opposed to you making money? Jim just did an excellent job. God wants you to have wealth, so you're blessed to be a blessing. So God's not opposed to wealth here. So, but this person, in their own mind, are making decisions. They're not including God. How do I know that? Because the answer is, whereas you don't know what is on the morrow. So you making decisions don't know what tomorrow holds. If you can't, like back to Paul, the captain of the ship, you know, I don't know why I always lick my finger when I do that, but he held up and he looked around and he said, it's all good. But Paul had a what? A knowing, a perception, an unction that this voyage was going to be with much damage to the ship and we could even all lose our lives. It was serious. But they didn't believe him. Because they didn't believe the preacher, you believed the captain, which in the natural, listen to me, makes good sense. But are you just a natural person? You're a supernatural person with inside information. And if you don't live by that inside information, it doesn't do you any good. And you just get what comes to you. And yes, then you can say with everybody else, well, I just believe whatever's meant to be is meant to be, or whatever comes is what comes. But you don't have to live that way. I don't have to live that way. I can know future things and warnings from God and learn to deal with them before they manifest. And so, because he's saying to him, you don't know what tomorrow is. For what is your life? Now, this is where everybody... How many of you know, what is your life? It is a vapor. And how many of you know, that's true. It's a vapor. How many of you know, if you lived 120 years, compared to God, that's a vapor? No, think about it. 120 years compared to eternity is what? You can't wrap your brain around it. You know, when God calls you my little children, that's not just a term of endearment. It's to remind you of who you are compared to him. What does a 100-year-old have in common with a 2-year-old? What is a 60? I mean, just thinking natural. A 60-year-old, does a 60-year-old, no matter how smart you think you are, do you have more than a 2-year-old? I'm trying to make a point here. With God, we're always going to be his little children. In other words, it's not just in term of endearment. It's to tell you, you don't know. We sometimes think we're very smart, and I'm for intelligence. Go to school, get a doctorate, get an MBA, get all the things you can get, whatever. But when it comes down to it, you still got to listen to God. Because he's smarter than you are. And he knows tomorrow, and you don't. And so he can tell you what to do every day. Especially when you're in trouble. Remember Pastor Rhonda talks about, in India, they call her Rita, because Rhonda's close to a dirty word. Rita. She used to talk about how every day it was like walking through a minefield, and she had to know where to put her step. My girl, I didn't know her back then, but she was so brave. A person, now don't do this unless it's the Holy Ghost, a person pulled a gun on her, and she just chose to believe it was a toy. The tough American girl just walked right on past him. Now, don't do that unless God tells you to do that. But I'm just telling you, you can be in dangerous times when you need to know exactly what to do in that moment. Because you don't know what tomorrow is. Every decision you have or you're making, decision you take has an equal and opposite reaction. And you have to make sure you're making decisions. I have to make sure every decision I make is of God. Even if I've messed up in some past decisions, the Lord can get me out of it by helping me make proper decisions. Are y'all wanting to know about this? You don't know what your life is. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. That's true. But that's not talking about dying. It's trying to get you to see that every moment of life on earth is precious because it's like a vapor compared to eternity. And you know what? Are you grateful for do-overs? But listen, I can't go redo my 50-some-odd years over. I can move on from my 50-plus years. I'll be 55 in March. Will I? Dear Jesus, help me. Let us pray. But I can't go redo them. God can make the next 55 better. But if I messed up anything along the way, I can't redo it. I can get forgiveness for it. I can move on from it, but I can't redo it. So in order to deliver, sometimes deliverance, people are looking for instantaneous when it takes a step-by-step choice and decision every day for a little while and then living the rest of your life that way. Because every decision you make has an equal and opposite reaction. So he's trying to say it's a vapor. It's a vapor. Make him. Because then he says this. Got to hurry. For you ought to say, turn to your neighbor and say, you ought to say, if the Lord will. What if the Lord will? It says we shall live, and then people stop there. Because most people say this is a living or dying scripture. They'll say, well, if the Lord wants you to live, you'll live, but if he wants you to die, you'll die. How many are great when you get on an airplane that it's not never the pilot's day to die? And if you ever get on one when it's the pilot and the co-pilot's time to die, you ought to get off. There's not a roulette wheel in the sky that when your day is up, your day is up. Because that's not proper teaching. This is not my teaching today. That's not proper New Testament teaching. Because there's things you can do to extend your life. Honor your mother and father that it'll go well with you and you'll have long life on the earth. That means if you don't honor them, your life could be shortened. Selah. Think on that. So there's not a day that you're destined to die. Because if that's the truth, then just go jump off this building. Take your shot. Well, if I'm not supposed to die, I just won't die. That's foolish. Don't live that way. That's religion. That's religious teaching that the devil injects in the church to get you to go to sleep. We have to understand. So you ought to say, if the Lord will live and what? Do this. Or do that. In other words, I'm going to pray what city I'm living in. I'm going to pray what my career is, where I'm supposed to go to school. I'm going to ask the Lord. What am I supposed to? There's an assignment on my. Your destiny is not your decision. It's your discovery. The steps of a righteous man are what? Ephesians 2:10 says God has prearranged. But it's like ordering something from Walmart. What did you do? You ordered it, and now they have a place where you can go pick it up. But if you don't go pick it up, that's not the ordering. That's not the people who filled the order's fault. That's your fault. And so my fault is if I don't find out what my orders are from headquarters. God has a destiny, a plan for my life, and I got to find it out. So this is where we, sometimes in our circles, we get messed up. If it's his, people say, well, you're never supposed to say, Lord, if it be your will. Well, you don't have to ask him if it's his will for healing, because that's settled. You don't have to ask him if it's his will to bless you, that's settled. You don't have to ask, well, Lord, would you rather have me have peace or worry? You don't have to ask that, it's settled. But what's not settled is your individual life. And so what do you got to do? Well, Lord, is it your will? Come on, all the single people, you ought to pray before you get married. You ought to pray before you go. If you're in high school and you're going to college, you ought to pray. If you're going to take a new job, you ought to pray. And not just look at the money. If you make a decision based on money, you're money-minded. And that has nothing to do with being led. Oh, my gosh. Let's get there. All right. I got a fur piece to go. All right. So I want to just tell you, though, you have to. Let's go to 1 Kings. Y'all understand that? That's not a. So now if you're at a funeral and the preacher gets up and starts using that scripture, don't anyone in the room stand up and say, my pastor said that. I'll slap you upside the head, all right? Don't do that. I've already done that once myself. Yeah, it was bad. It's a good thing I have a good wife. Anyway, so 1 Kings, I didn't make a scene. Not much. And so it just popped out. He was lying. It's a long time ago. 1 Kings in another city. Praise God. 1 Kings 17. So here we got Elijah. There was drought in the land. I want to talk to you about, see, there's certain things you don't know about your life because you don't know tomorrow, but God does. God wants to take good care of you, but you got to find out his direction. There's always a direction. So here, remember what he told him. He said, turn eastward, hide thyself in the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Specific. So when it comes to following, so there, you've got to know that there's many times a very specific will and place and time that God wants you. In the seasons of your life, there's a specific place, time. Now here we know what happened. Every day, twice a day, the ravens would feed him steak and or meat and bread. My elder brother, Mark Brzee, used to say it this way. He believed that the raven swooped in at the king's table, got the best piece of steak, the best piece of bread, and every day, hot delivery. But how many of you know the ravens had orders from God? I'm sure they wore gloves on their talons. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they brought them, and they dropped it off where? At the brook Cherith, and only the brook Cherith. If Elijah wasn't eaten, it was because he would have been out of the place God told him to be. God's not going to rearrange the special delivery because he's out of the will. The meat and the bread only go to one place. If you're not getting yours, make sure you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Okay? And then what happened? Because of the drought, the brook dried up. And then God said what in verse number, I think it's 9, maybe 10. 10. No, 9. He said, now I want you to go to Zarephath, so another specific place. Don't say, the brook dried up. So if God doesn't lead, then he's got to go where he thinks to go. But God leads. God speaks. He says, now I want you to go to Zarephath. And then God doesn't just say, go to Zarephath. He gets even more specific. Sometimes you'll have general, sometimes you have a specific. But if you get a specific, you can't do anything else. Nothing else will work. Well, I'm just going to believe God because I don't like Zarephath. I don't like that town. Those people aren't that nice. You know, there's not good shopping in Zarephath. I just don't want to go there. But when it comes, if you want God to take care of you, you and I have to go where he told us to go. I had no choice but to come to Madison, Alabama. I didn't have a choice. I didn't come here because I wanted to. I was sent here. And nothing else will work for me. This is where he sent me. And so I have to, and there's seasons in your life where maybe it is a general assignment. And that's good. Do that. I've had those seasons. And maybe you have that in your life. But here, he said, go to Zarephath. And then he said, go live there because I've commanded a widow woman. Now, here's where I want to interject some things. Because you and I, when we get orders from headquarters, when we get direction from the Lord, sometimes we inject, then we get mental with even what God says to us. We're good at that, y'all. When God says something, we like to add to it or then put our spin on it. Now, I'm just being as open. I've told you this before, but I know this is what I would have done. He said, there's a widow woman there to sustain thee. So I would have gotten out the paper and find who recently died and who died who had money. I mean, if you got a, it's in the drought and you need money, you say, well, Pastor, that's carnal. No, you're just like me. Because you would go to the natural then and find a woman who is a widow woman who had some money. Because the Lord said she's going to sustain you. What does that mean? She, in the time of this drought, she's got plenty of stuff. We get very mental with these things sometimes. And you can't afford to. Because he went there, and when he came, what woman did God lead Elijah to? A woman who was preparing her last meal. And in your mind, that's not someone who can sustain you. That's not someone who can sustain you. But you see, he had to get beyond who could sustain in the natural, and he had to find God's choice. God's way of doing it. God's way of doing it. He is smarter than you. And he sent, and he not only wanted to take care of Elijah, but he wanted to take care of this widow woman and her son. And he sent the man of God with a word from God. And what happened? He told her what to do. And how many of you know? It was all good. It was all good. But you see, you can't, even with God's direction, you can't get mental with it. You can't get mental with it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here, Samuel, Ziklag, Mary used this scripture on Wednesday night when she was receiving tithes and offering. I want to tell you, when you have an issue in life, you got to find out the will of God. If it be thy will, you got to find out the will of God. If it's not written, if it's not the general will of God, and you got something specific in your life, don't go making decisions without inquiring of the Lord. Don't make life decisions. Don't make big decisions. Really, don't make any decisions without getting consultation. You've got a comforter. You've got a counselor on the inside of you. You've got somebody on the inside of you who knows tomorrow. We need to check in. Well, so these are old covenant examples, but I want to give you this one. You know, here he is. Came to pass, David, his men came from Ziklag on the third day. The Amalekites invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Verse 2, and when they had taken the women captive, they were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. So, I mean, he's in a mess. He was a mess. The David and the people that were here lifted up their voice and wept. They had no more power to weep. When you got a bunch of guys weeping, I mean, this was a mess. His two wives were taken captive, and all the family, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of, okay, as the leader. This is who David is. He's the giant killer. He was there. He's the one that took them from the cave of Adullam when they're all in debt. He was their leader. Raw David. David the hero. David the mighty man. David and his mighty men. They're all for him until they're against him. And now everything is gone, and as the leader, they want to kill him. They spake of stoning him because the soul of the people were grieved, every man his sons and his daughters. But David, everybody say but. But David did what? When you've got a decision to make, even you just got to get alone with God. You just got to get alone with God. When it comes to the decisions of your life, big ones, small ones, even small ones, start learning to get along with God. If you only wait for the huge ones, you'll have had no preparation. So he got along with the Lord. And then in verse 7, and David said to get the ephod, and so he got the ephod, verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? How many know? Shall I overtake them? Aren't you glad that we serve a God who answers back? And who's he going to answer? You. And what did he say? Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail. Come on, somebody say, without fail. There's no failure in God. Without fail. Without fail. He'll never fail you. The word will never return void. He'll never let you down. Without fail, you'll do what? Recover it all. Recover it all. But he had to inquire of the Lord. I'm telling you, what I just want to get to you real quick is you've got to understand that there are decisions in your life, and I have decisions in my life. I always need to inquire of the Lord. But if you've got something especially going on, you need to take the time to be alone with God. Even the Apostle Paul, in the middle of the storm, he went into the belly of the ship and was alone with the Lord, and they'll speak to him. I'm not promising you an appearance from God. I am promising you the Spirit of God will speak to you. I am promising he will lead you. Where does he lead you? Remember, we looked at last week. Even Jesus himself, Mark chapter 2, verse 8, says that Jesus perceived in his heart. First John talks about how you have, chapter 2, verse 20 and 27, you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. First John chapter 5, verse 10 says you have a witness. Come on, do you know you're born again? How do you know you're born again? Because you love the brethren, but also because of what? You have a knowing. You have a witness. Romans 8:16 says his spirit bears witness with your spirit. You've got a witness. You know that's where God leads you in the new covenant. That's the highest place you can get to of being led by the Spirit of God is a perception and a knowing. Where is that perception? It's in the spirit of man. The spirit of man is the candle to the Lord. So your spirit is alive unto God and this witness. So you're not always looking for words. You're not always looking for something out here. You're looking for a leading and a guiding on the inside. Amen. That's the word that God on the inside of you leads you and guides you and many times pulls you along. And so but you need to have faith in that. I talked to you last week. Anytime you've got a decision to make, you need leading from the Lord. You've got to, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. First of all, you've got to believe you can hear from God. You don't need somebody else to hear for you. I want to get you established in this, John 10, 4 and 5. You are his sheep and you, when did you become a sheep? When you were born again. Do you know his voice? Pastor Mark, I'm trying to learn it. No, you're not. You know it. I know it. You learn the word. You know his voice. I know it. Romans 8:14, because you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. John 8:37, because you're of the truth, you hear him. Because you're part of the church, you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to you. You have an unction. Amen. What are you going to do? Rehearse those things. Believe those things. I pray in tongues more than you all. But if you don't believe you can hear from God, praying in tongues 6 hours is not going to fix it. You have to believe you can hear. Can you hear? Can you be led? Come on, you can be led. Hallelujah. Ooh, I get excited talking about this because I want you to get there. But remember last week, I talked a little bit about this. And then, of course, as we went home, Pastor Rhonda reminded me of more. That involved me. And so, but listen, there are times that I will admit that if we're not listening, how many of you know God loves you whole lots? How many of you know he's trying to keep you out of messes? So sometimes if you ain't listening, sometimes if you are not listening, he will go to an outside source to try to help you out. So she reminded me of this one. And Robert and I, this is many years ago, we were getting ready to go. I was going to teach in a Damata school in the nation of Brazil, where Brazil is where I cut my teeth in the ministry. My spiritual mother, Nancy Graham, used to take me to Brazil all the time. And so I think this was going to be my 8th or 9th trip to Brazil. I can't remember. Maybe it wasn't that many. But in other words, I've been to Brazil many times. I love the Guaraná. I love the meat restaurants, even in gas stations. I mean, it is just awesome. And so I love the preaching. I love the people. You say you put the other stuff first. Well, it's 12:20. I'm hungry. And so, so I was getting ready to go. Robert was going with me. I think it was his first time to go with me to Damata school. So we were busy, of course. And so we had prayed a little bit. And, I've been to Brazil. I know everything about it. I've done this before. It's not my first rodeo. It's all good. So in the middle of the night, one night, Pastor Rhonda pops up and says that prayed out. hassle and delay could be avoided if this trip was prayed out. And she said, I had this little mini vision of you on a bus. Well, she didn't know, but we were getting on a bus from Rio, to the city that we were going to. And I had been there many times and with my spiritual mother, and we had to be very careful because at the bus terminal, they look for Americans or groups of Americans, and then what they do is they, with guns, hold them up. And they as they get out. And so she said, I saw you get on a bus. I saw gunmen get on in mask and take you and Robert off the bus by gunpoint. Well, so Mark is not an idiot. But this is what he did. I fixed it in the natural. I called the guy and I said, Mark and Robert are no taking no bus. Get me a car. Which makes good sense, doesn't it? That's pretty smart. But I didn't heed the rest of what the Lord said through her. He said, danger, delay, hassle, and delay could be prayed away if this trip was better prayed out. So Robert and I, I'm throwing him under the bus with me. He's coming out in a little bit. I think we came up. We weren't here. It was over in the A-frame. We prayed on it for a little bit. I'm still going, but now I'm going at it. I got it covered. Got it covered. She saw the bus. I took care of it. I didn't really get in there because I've been to Brazil before. I know what I'm getting into. I know it. So Robert and I take off. We're at the Atlanta airport. Everything's cool. As we take off, we hear a loud explosion. Just like this, when there's 200 people on a plane and everybody goes silent and the flight attendants look worried, you know you've got a problem. Well, what happened is one of the tires exploded on takeoff. And thank God the rubber did not go into the engine because that has caused planes to crash. So, though, the pilot comes on and says, because we're going to Rio from Atlanta, we have to dump all of our fuel and we're going to make an emergency landing. So as he is explaining that we're dumping all of our fuel, suddenly there is the largest electrical storm I've ever seen in my life. It may have nothing to do with the fuel. It just didn't make me happy. We're dumping fuel and there is lightning everywhere all around us. Flight attendants are all on the phone. I don't know who they're talking to, but it doesn't look good who they're talking to. I think they're telling loved ones. Anyway, and then they come through and tell us how to brace and kiss our behinds goodbye. We all got a personal tutoring on how to grab your knees. Well, I just went into robo-tongues after that. I don't know if I cared who was listening or whatever. I went into row, and then he comes on after a half an hour of dumping, and he's like, I don't want anyone to be alarmed. The runway will be lined with ambulances and fire trucks. No, I'm not alarmed. I'm not alarmed at all. So we land successfully. I get off the phone and I call my wife in a bit of a panic. I said, you call everybody who you think knows how to pray. Wanda was our prayer coordinator. I said, you call Wanda, you call everybody, you call them all. Well, so what happened was we got stuck at the airport because now they had to get us a new plane. And as the new plane and everything ready to take off, suddenly all the crew marches off because now they've been overtimed. And they can't fly anymore because they've been on duty. So then they've got to call everybody in Atlanta, taking another 4 hours to get another crew. So finally, we're umpteen hours late. I get down there, and now my car is no longer waiting on me because they thought we decided not to come. It was a hassle. It was the delay because I heard instructions from the Lord, and I took it into my own mind how to fix it. Is that a good enough warning for everybody? Are you with me? Now, I'm so grateful that God does go to the outside, but you got to listen. And even at that, though, when they do give you something, you can't let the messenger or you go to the natural to try to figure out what God is saying. Because even people who God uses to warn you, if they're the outside source, they got to be careful not to put their interpretation on it. Because that'll mess you up just as much. Well, this is what the Lord said to me. And now this is what, anytime someone says, now this is what I think you ought to do about it, then you're getting an opinion and it can mess you up. I mean, the warning could go nowhere because you added their opinion. Now, are you grateful? You know, I'm going to talk to you a little later about this because you're all coming back next week, right? The Lord told me you would. And so you're going to be back next week. And so, but you have to be careful. There's New Testament things, but the greatest way to be led is by the perception. I am grateful for dreams. Dreams are great. But in Matthew, before the new birth, they came as a warning. But listen to me. If you don't know what the dream means, don't ask somebody for the interpretation. It's either from God or it was pepperoni. And if it was God and you're not clear about it, ask him. I remember this one time I was a traveling minister. I went to this one church and they had a dream interpreter on staff. It scared me. You don't need people to interpret your dreams. That's old covenant. You live in the new covenant. You don't even want to get fleeced. Gideon didn't have the Spirit of God living on the inside of him. You don't move, you don't do things. Well, I'm going to sell my house, and if it sells in 3 days, then I know this is you, Lord. You don't, no. I'm going to take this job. I always use this one. Lord, if the receptionist has a red dress on, I know that's my job. Well, maybe that's the only thing she likes. It'd be the worst job of your life. Come on, don't raise your hand, but have you ever got fleeced? Don't do things by the natural. Don't do that. That's old covenant. You have a perceiver on the inside of you. Prophecy. Oh, I'm grateful for prophecy. Personal prophecy. That's great, but you're not to be led by it. It should confirm something in you. Don't let people get who personally prophesy. If it's a prophet, it's well known. It's not their job to lead you and guide you. They could give you a warning, but you're still going to have to hear from God. Or they're going to give you something. And what's it for? The Bible says to war a good warfare with it. It's not to be led by it. You're supposed to be led for yourself by your spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you again. If you think you know the answer, God spoke to me and said, and I guess I'm the big Holy Ghost teacher on how to be led, gets to use his examples of when he almost royally messed up. How do you think I'm getting so good at this? I'm getting better every day. Because I have messed up before, and I do appreciate it. Do you appreciate it when God loves you so much and you're being stubborn or won't listen? Or you don't think it's possible, even if God's trying to warn you about someone and you don't think it's possible, or warn you about a situation or warn you about a job, and you just think, no, that can't be. Well, that means you shut that off. And he'll go on the outside, usually with someone you trust, mostly with someone you trust, but even that, you still got to get the plan on your own. You still got to get it. And then don't do what I did. Instead of taking the warning and doing all of it, I fixed what I thought needed to be fixed. And I'm glad I'm still alive. I'm glad nothing happened. His mercy is wonderful. But on the other hand, and then when I got down there, just to be real with you, they didn't care that I was there at all. So I had to spend another day praying to get them to a place of caring so they would even listen to that we showed up to give them the word. We should have prayed and prayed and prayed that out thoroughly. But you know, the Lord will help you along the way. And so all he's wanting you to do is just to get better at making decisions. Because in the world we live in right now, you can judge nothing based on what you see only or what you hear. What people say about other people. What people post about other people. Come on, just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean it's true. It's Google true. It's Facebook true. What? It's Facebook true. What does that mean? I don't know. God's the only thing that's the truth. Amen. So make sure you're getting in there and hearing from the Holy Ghost. I wanna stop here, but just make proper decisions. When you're making decisions in life, you know, I'll just use this example. I don't know why I keep wanting to use this example. But, you know, let's say a young man or a young lady in sports, they get all these offers. And you can have a coach or you can have a family that's saying, oh, man, we really want you to do this. Yet in their heart, you know, they get something that's not what everybody wants them to do. Well, and then they do what everybody else wants them to do. It doesn't work out. Then they want to be mad at everybody. But the great thing about being born again is you had something on the inside. Come on, you've all had that before, right? Where you've had something on the inside and you went along with the crowd or you just thought, ah. And then on the back, you're like, oh, man, I knew that. I knew that. Do not override those I know that's. Get you in trouble. Be confident in it. Be confident in it. Learn to live this way. Learn to live this way. And it'll cause you to walk in the blessings of God and just do those things. And we'll look at some other stuff next week. Amen. Y'all stand. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for every person in this room. Father, we're so grateful that we have a counselor on the inside. Holy Ghost, we're so grateful for your work in us as new believers, as believers. And even, Father, if there is a new believer in the room, if there's someone who's just starting out this, make this revelation to them. Father, I believe our steps are ordered and we're going to find out what they are. We're going to follow you all the days of our life. Yes, our life is even a vapor that lasts for a little bit, but we're going to ask you, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do this or are we supposed to do that? We're going to find out. We're going to inquire of you like David of old did and know, you know, when to pursue and when to lay back and when to do this and when to do that. We're going to know when to do this or do that. We're going to be like Elijah and we're going to know where to be and where not to be and when to go and when to stay, what to say and what not to say. Father, that's the people we want to be. I pray that you would guide us and direct us in all that we do. And even this week coming up, I pray for all these people, Father, that their steps are ordered of you and they will follow your voice. They will follow that perception. They will follow that knowing. And they will have a good week. They will be walking in your blessings. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.